Hoy a todos y bienvenidos a un podcast sobre poco de lixo. I'm your host, Rowan Bradley, and I know no one can see me, but I need everyone to know that I'm dressed like Lily Moskowitz, about to film an episode of Shut Up and Listen. So, when looking into Brazilian film for this project, I wanted to look at the kinds of movies that I like to watch normally. I love horror, black comedies, chick flicks and girl gangs, cult classics, and Oscar bait dramas. But what I love most, my deepest, most pretentious desire when it comes to cinema, is trash. I love trash. I love John Waters. I love Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I watched 4 seasons of Riverdale and I liked it. Kind of. Which is how I found out about a little thing called Boca do Lixo. But what is that? Well, Boca do Lixo is a neighborhood in São Paulo known for being crime heavy and having a lot of sex work, although not so much now due to a heavy police presence, according to Wikipedia. But Boca do Lixo is even more famous for birthing its very own genre of film during the military occupation of 1964 to 1985. Boca do Lixo translates to mouth of garbage or trash mouth, which gives you a pretty good idea of what kinds of films it's known for: exploitation, crime, cheap comedies, sexploitation, and porno chanchadas. Boca do Lixo was an incredibly popular genre before giving way to Cinema Novo and the end of the military dictatorship. Looking at it now, we might wonder why or how, especially when even modern sexploitation films are at best cult and at worst directed by Harmony Korine or James Franco, but it's a genre that appears far too often to be ignored. It seems like nearly every country with a film industry has had their exploitation phase. Some more notable, like Japanese pink films of the 1960s and 80s, or the French Emmanuel era in the 1970s, and some more generic, because everyone, no matter what culture, apparently loves to watch some kinky comedies. But it kind of makes you wonder, why? Why do we like this? But more importantly, why is this genre of film something we create globally? Short answer, it's the government. And of course, sex sells. For the long answer, we have to go back to 1964, Rio de Janeiro, where on April 1st, the Brazilian military staged a coup with the help and encouragement of the United States military. Then President João Goulart fled to Uruguay, and the Brazilian Congress declared the presidency vacant. Within days, constitutional rights were revoked, allowing the government to remove elected officials, revoke political rights, and more. What followed was about 21 years of military dictatorship, censorship, and like a lot of human rights violations. And this was all done in the name of preventing communism, which years later was admitted to be a straight-up lie by the US government. As someone who was not yet born during this era, it can be kind of hard to understand the intense panic that people had over communism. But you can look to films like Red Dawn, Silk Stockings, or even Doctor Strangelove to get a sense of how intense the fear of communism was. And as someone alive now, it's easy to see how easily the government or militaries can take over with or without the support of their people. And it's becoming increasingly easy to understand how intense the propaganda and censorship can be, especially without the internet. The censorship was enforced on all media in Brazil at the time. Musicians and journalists fled the country, and others stayed behind, slipping past censors with clever wordplay and very obvious newspaper filler. It's something that's still felt today, even more under President Bolsonaro. The quote-unquote real cinema was hit hard, especially with the banning of all things non-Brazilian in theaters. So the citizens, scammers, and creatives of the Boca do Lixo neighborhood picked up the slack and made, porn. Now, porno chanchadas are sex comedies. They show graphic nudity, but not necessarily actual sex. They're also a little bit difficult to talk about in an academic way, but I'm doing my best. Throughout the dictatorship, and especially afterwards, these films got increasingly not safe for work, but they started out mainly as comedies that were, for the most part, making fun of the censorship. It wasn't in an overt way, but by making these bonkers erotic films that could pass a censorship board, filmmakers were able to show just how silly some of these rules were. You can't critique the government, but you can go full HBO at an afternoon matinee. And these films were also incredibly popular. In fact, the porno chanchada film Doña Flor y Seus Dois Maridos was Brazil's most viewed film for 35 years until it was bested by Elite Squad 2, which coincidentally is a copsploitation film, which is one of Brazil's most popular genres currently. When it comes to the US equivalent, my mind immediately goes to what we know as sexploitation, a genre that emerged in the 1960s after Samuel Roth convinced the courts to change their opinion of what was obscene, although we may consider pre-Hays Code Hollywood and even slasher films. All of these genres reflect the same censorship or lack of censorship that was integral in the birth of Boca de Lixo. However, a more apt example would be so-called sex comedies, with content that varies from Some Like It Hot in 1959 to Porky's in 1981. But how does all of that censorship and political turmoil become the Seven Kittens or the woman who invented love? How do these become multiple maniacs? And how on earth did Spring Breakers make $31.7 million at the box office? Well, for the same reason that Bridgerton was viewed by 82 million households within a month of its debut. It's escapism. It's pure frivolous entertainment that takes literally no brain power to enjoy. That's why I have New Moon logged 5 times on Letterboxd this year already. Well, actually, that's because Kiowa Gordon is my soulmate. But the point is that people love trash. After a long day of being overworked and beaten down, the last thing you want to do is spend your free time analyzing the deeper meaning of some hard-hitting documentary. Even if you don't want to watch reality TV or historical rom-coms, you don't want to watch things that make you feel worse. And that's not to be like, oh, nobody watches the news anymore, kids are too busy keeping up with the Kardashians, because that's not accurate. It's more like nobody can mentally keep up with the constant bombardment of horrible things happening literally all the time. They're too busy watching the Avengers. And this isn't to say that nobody genuinely likes these movies or that they have no meaning. In fact, it's the opposite. Because making these films and genuinely enjoying them is inherently political. Films are inherently political, and the more apolitical you try to make something, the more political it is in return. By barring films from critiquing the government created an entire genre of some of the raunchiest, strangest, and most clever films in Brazilian history. The filmmakers didn't pass the censorship board by doing nothing. They passed the censorship board by making the filthiest movies they possibly could because the government didn't say that they couldn't. It's a political gotcha, and in doing so, they allowed billions of Brazilians to escape for an hour and a half. Boca de Lixo seems like a genre that you could easily write off. It's just a B-movie fluff that isn't worth your time, but it's so much more than that. It's a genre of resistance, a genre of taking back your power as an artist, as a woman, or as a Brazilian. And more importantly, it's just fun.
Okay, listen to this. Everyone on Sesame Street is always talking about love. Yuck. But now it's time for me to tell you what Oscar the Grouch loves, the thing that grouches love best of all. Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. If you really want to see something trashy, look at this. I have here a sneaker that's battered and worn. It's all full of holes and the laces are torn. A gift from my mother the day I was born. I love it because it's trash. Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. Here's some more rotten stuff. I have here some newspaper 13 months old. I've wrapped this inside it, it's smelly and old. But I wouldn't trade it for a big pot of gold. I love it because it's trash. Yes, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. Now look at this restless junk. I've a clock that won't work, and then those telephone. A broken umbrella, a rusty trombone. And I am delighted to call them my own. I love them because they're trash. Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or stingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I